The Holy Gospel is written in the 15th chapter of St. John's Gospel, beginning with verse 9.
Glory
to you, O Lord. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll remain in my love, just as I kept my Father's commands and remained in his love. I told you this so that your joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And you are my friends if you do what I have commanded. I no longer call you servants, because servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to your might to go bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to
you, Lord. Good morning. He is risen.
He is risen.
Oh man, good, it's catching on. It keeps on going. That's good. Now, you had an assignment. You remember? Those that were here, you were to look at Galatians chapter 5, starting around verse 22, and we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. One fruit, 9 different flavors. What an ice cream that would be, right? And did you look to see if you're bearing fruit? Did you see any of those things that you struggle with? Or did you see things that are happening in your life? Did you do it? Yeah? Okay. Hopefully you see God working in your life and you see bearing fruit. It's interesting because now we get to the point where we pick one specific part of fruit. And when you look in Scripture, one of the ways to see how God is trying to teach us is to see if there's a repetitive word, a command, or something he has asked us to follow. So, in that scripture, and you can cheat, that's why we print bulletins, right? So you can follow and cheat. And what is you think is one of the main parts of this scripture? Okay, so we're having a little trouble. So we start that the word starts with an L. Love. Have anybody got a Bible? Or I don't know if they still have the Bibles in the pews, do they? Or is it just hymn books now? Okay. All right, so now you got another assignment because we forgot to have our Bibles in the pews. And you can do it by your phone. Psalm 136. Psalm 136, there are 26 verses. That shouldn't be too overwhelming for you, should it? All right. And each verse, as it goes through, the psalmist is going to remind us of something. Our organist and conductor would like to know that this was in music form as a psalm. A lot of the psalms were in music form. They would sing them. It starts, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is what?" Good. We try to go through that in the last few messages to remind you, as you look at the Savior, as you get to know him, is not one to beat you up, not to condemn you, your sin condemn you, or to make life hard. You find out that he is good. Good in Boynton Beach, Florida. Guess what happens when you go to Michigan? Do you know, Bill? You're going to find out that God is good in Michigan. Those that go to New York, as hard as that might be, God is what? Still good in New York, right? You go across the seas and you find that God is good. But he said, here's the reason. For his love, or his mercy, endures forever. Forever's a long time, isn't it? We're not used to forevers, are we? And his mercy is that love. Mercy is paying a price that you couldn't pay. Mercy is taking care of things that you couldn't take care of. And it's not something you deserved. He did it anyway. And no matter how you might look at yourself between you and God through the day, through the week, through your life, guess what? God is good and he loves you. And how much did he love you? Just for Sunday?
Forever.
And so that's how that verse ends. And then he says, give thanks to God. He's the God of all gods. He's above all gods. And guess what? His love or his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord. He's the Lord of lords. And guess what? His love endures forever. You keep going through. That's your homework. And each one of the verses will end, and his mercy endures forever. What a God, huh? God showed his love. How did God show his love? He says, well, he showed his love through his son. How did he do it? How did God show his love to you? That while you yet were sinners, Christ died for you. Now, maybe you think he deserved to die for you. I don't know. Maybe you think that he should do that. Or maybe as you learn and as you even come up when you take communion, you find out that we didn't deserve that, did we? It was by his mercy and his love that he gave his life for you and for me. His love does endure forever. Each Sunday that you come, God's loved you through the week, loved you through the day, and he loves you that Sunday just like he loved you last Sunday and this Sunday. And he's wanting to teach us that we should remember these things. If we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit and we are to grow, the first thing to get our mind right is to know what he has done for us. And to be really examples and stewards and faithful witnesses of him, we ought to be able to demonstrate that love to others. It's interesting in regards to if you know the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, does your life change? I hope so. It should change, right? Everything's affected in regards to our relationships with each other. It ought to be to the point where we want to make sure that in the body of Christ, as this church, just as we accept new members as we go through, that we're there for each other. Before they pass out the door and you see someone, how was your week? Did you have a good week? So? Pretty good? Some gone through some sicknesses or doctor visits? Beverly, you doing good? Yeah? God loves you. We want to make sure that we're showing that love of Christ with each other and that we are all shown that value. It should change in our relationships. How about when you go and if you're still working, how about in your job? Is your job different today, knowing Christ and living for Christ, than it was before? Do you make sure that as you're doing your work, you're doing it unto the Lord and not unto man, or not even unto yourself? When they're looking for good workers, the reason they have a good worker is because you're in Christ and you're giving your all, you're doing your best. Do you hold certain values in your life? And is that because of Christ? Are you honest when you're dealing with people in your work? It should change the way we do things, shouldn't it? How we feel about our Savior should change our relationships. It should change our job situations, even our health. But that's not always an easy thing, is it? Sometimes we struggle with health. But we know who's in control, don't we? And we can rely on God to heal us, to guide us, to get us through the moment, through the day. And then our finances. Instead of it being for me anymore, it's for Him. What is it that He wants me to do? How does He want me to leave? In regards, we were talking in the other day about how do we leave a legacy for a church or whatever to keep on going in the ministry. It's because we're thinking in a different way. We're wanting to promote the gospel, not just end of the day. God loves you no matter what. If you're broken in sin, His love doesn't diminish. Isn't that nice? I messed up this week, or I thought the wrong thing. I said the wrong thing. But guess what? God's love endures forever. It didn't chase it away, did it? Isn't that amazing? Everything else that we have, it seems like it's temporal. We can put a time period on it. It expires. You know, the battery life in a car, what, about 4 or 5 years, then it's dead, right? Things just don't seem to last, and we don't know of too many things that we've ever had in life that last for ever. And yet His mercy and His love just does that. Your foundation, when you're building a house, it needs a what? Solid foundation. When you're looking at building your life upon the rock, you can rest assured that God loves you and His mercy and love endures forever. So once in Christ, you have a solid foundation to build on. And that's where you start as you're going along. He loves you on your good days. And some of us, guess what? He still loves you on your bad days. He loves you if you sinned, and He loves you if you obeyed Him and you obeyed His commandments. He loves you both ways. The Bible said God showed His much love by sending His only begotten Son into the world, that we might have eternal life through Him, the real love, not the love of God, but He had loved us, sent His Son to sacrifice to take away our sins. That's 1 John chapter 4, 9 through 10. This is the life that you can build on. Rick Warren, who's a spiritual writer and speaker, said, "The joy is settled assurance that God's in control of all the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be okay and is determined by God in every situation." And just like the psalmist said in that verse 1, God is good. God is looking for the best in you, and His love endures forever, and it doesn't change. Now, God's asked for us to do something with that love. What did He ask? He said, "This is my command that you..." Oh, man, and guess what? Some of us aren't that lovely. If we really knew the person, we'd probably say, "God, really? Yeah, it's a little tough." And sometimes we have the tendency, instead of loving each other, to what? Hurt each other. You ever been hurt before? In a worst case scenario, have you ever been hurt in a church before? I have some people, they won't even come and visit church. They won't attend anymore. And it's because their excuse is that somebody or process or group of people hurt them, so they won't come. But what they fail to realize is what the message has always been, is God's love endures forever so they can come. It's not about people, it's about Him. How do we start to love one another? You know, it's not always easy. How do we do those things? Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. What we try to do as a church here is to show the love of Christ. And that means with everyone, and even as we mentioned before, is that our goal is that in brotherly love, we want you to what? Grow in Christ. Love Him more. Serve together with joy in your heart. To know that no matter what your circumstances, no matter your health or anything else, God loves you. And we love you too. We need to develop that love and accepting as God does. We want to see that growth and in the body of Christ. 1 Peter 4:9 says, our hospitality is what? To one another. I think one of the closest times in the church fellowship is the opportunity when we have the time to show hospitality and fellowship. You enjoy those times? Yes? We get to know each other a little more than just simply Sunday. We get to know what is going on in your life, what's happening spiritually and growing. Galatians 6:10 says, as we have opportunity, let us do what? Good. When you have opportunity to be with a brother or sister in Christ, be it here or when you go back and you're somewhere else and you're fellowshipping with a group of believers, you should be showing good to them. There's a family therapist, Virginia Sturr, she's a humanist, but she says it's interesting. People need 4 hugs a day for survival. We need 8 hugs a day just to maintain our level of contentment or joy. And we need 12 hugs a day for growth. That's a lot of hugs. I don't think I get 12 hugs a day, do you? But the object there was that there should be some kind of showing appreciation, affection, of love for one another. It's an act of service. It's interesting, later in the Bible, we find that there are certain things that we should do. And Paul is pretty blunt with folks. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you not be ignorant. In other words, you ought to know. And then not just knowing, you ought to do. And so when we get to the fruits of the Spirit, it's there that God has developed different things within us. But one of the major capacities is for us to understand love. Love is sacrificial. Love gives instead it takes, doesn't it? You've been in relationships before, and some will be getting married in the future. You'll find that it's sacrificial. You're not looking for things for yourself. You're looking to give and give it sacrificially, not looking for anything in return. You ever done that? Makes the biggest statements, doesn't it? Love is kind. We're not looking for things. We're not trying to make somebody feel bad. It's kind. When God says His mercy and His love endures forever, It wasn't something that we endure. He said, I came down and I gave it to you. You didn't come to me. I came to you. No matter what your circumstance, no matter how you live your life, no matter what you think, God came to you. May it be as you go through and you look through the psalm this week and look through life, you look how God has blessed you and given you the ability as you abide in Him to produce fruit. May the first one be love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, sacrificially given to us through the cross, to take away our sin from the past, from the present, from the future, and to put us in line with a holy God, that He does not see our sinful self, He does not see us make our mistakes, He does not see us fall apart, He just sees us in love. And through your love, we can grow in Christ. And so help this church as a body and individuals grow in your love. In Jesus' name, amen.